Corinthians chapter 16. And with our Bibles open before us, let us unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious God, our loving Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity of coming to Thee. And our God, we thank Thee that we as Christian soldiers can march onward. And we thank Thee that Thou didst say to the children of Israel, to Moses to say to them, speak unto the children of Israel, that they may go forward. And we pray that we might advance and go forward today, that we might go onward and upward as far as our Christian walk is concerned. Bless us as we gather at Thy feet and shut us in with Thee, and that as we hear Thy word today, that it might be as manna to our souls, and that we might be well fed as we feast on the good things that God has provided for us. Bless and help us now, we'd ask of Thee, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Look at verses 13 and 14. I want to take those as my text this morning. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. The Apostle Paul here is drawing towards the end of his first epistle to the Corinthians, and the epistle that he has written has dealt with a lot of the problems that were in the church of Corinth. You remember how at the very outset of the epistle he had to say that he couldn't speak to them as mature, but he had to speak to them as babes. And they had been behaving as babes in Christ, and they had been harboring sin in their midst. They had been guilty of misusing the gifts of the Spirit. They had been guilty of divisions and strife and envy in their midst. And now Paul is using the opportunity at the end of the epistle to rally the troops. He wants them to stand fast. And you notice one of the admonitions that he gives in verse 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 is, quit you like men. The word quit there just means equip yourselves like men, or act like men, or behave like men. You need to be grown up. You need to take on the responsibilities and the duties and the difficulties of being grown up. And he says in the verse, he's speaking really in militaristic terms here, he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And here is the general, the Apostle Paul, he's rallying the troops, and he's giving the orders of battle. As he draws the epistle towards the end, he knows that these people are going to have to go out and face the battle and face difficulties in their lives. So he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And we need to stand like that. We need to equip ourselves and behave like men and mature Christians as we stand in the Christian battle, because there is a battle. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, and he said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And when Paul was writing his last letter to young Timothy, and when he knew that Timothy was going to be left, as it were, he wasn't going to be there to help him, that Paul wasn't going to be there to help him, one of the things that he told Timothy was, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And we are standing in a battle today, and we're fighting in a warfare. And in order to do that, we need to be equipped. We're going to have to stand as mature Christians. That is one of the reasons why we have to go on and grow, because there is a battle. And if we stand like children in the middle of a battle, we're not going to in any way prevail. We're not going to be able to stand in the midst of the battle. We'd be as well getting into the background as standing in the front line for God if we are like children. So we have to grow up today, and we have to mature in order to stand in the Christian battle. And Paul gives the orders now, as mature Christians. How are we to stand? What are we to do in the battle that we face? How are we going to get it? How are we going to stand against this enemy? We've got to get on the armor. We've got to be able to stand firm. We've got to be like the soldier who doesn't run when he faces the difficulty and when he faces the onslaughts of the enemy. And so in our Christian battle today, and in our growth in grace, we have to face the conflict. How are we going to do that? Well, Paul gives us the instructions here. And I want us to look at the instructions for a few minutes as to how we stand in the conflict in our growth and grace. There are a number of admonitions that he gives. And the first one is that we must be sharp, watching. Be sharp. Be on the alert. Be vigilant. That's what he is saying here. We need to be vigilant because the enemy will go about creeping around, trying to come in behind closed doors. And we read in the book of Jude how there are certain men crept in unawares. And we need to realize that we are going to be attacked in the Christian battle. It's not going to be easy, and it is going to be difficult. And there are a number of enemies that we're going to have to keep our eyes open for. The Bible speaks about the three enemies of the Christian: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And there is the outer enemy, that is the world. And the scriptures warn us to be on the alert against the world. It says, love not the world. It says in James 4 and verse 4, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? The world is the value system of the world, the value system that dominates society, which is contrary to God's precious word. And you can imagine the Corinthians here. They were living in the midst of a heathen society, a very depraved heathen society at that. And they were getting these influences coming at them from every side. But it's the same today. We're getting the influences of an increasingly pagan world coming at us from every side. And we have to stand and be on the alert against those influences, for they can so easily come in. And there's no point you and me standing and saying that we are not worldly because we're influenced by the value system of the world every day. Now, if you turn over to 1 John chapter 2 and look at verses 16 and 17, it gives us the component parts of worldliness. 1 John chapter 2 verses 16 and 17. For all that is in the world, and this is what is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father but is of the world. Now you notice that it gives the three parts of the worldliness. There is the lust of the flesh. Now that's sensualism. That's craving after anything that satisfies the senses. Now of course there's a legitimate satisfaction of our bodily needs. There are things that we need to do. We need to eat and we need to drink and so many of those things that we need to do. But when we go to animal-like indulgence of those things, that is when it is the lust of the flesh. When our food is eaten excessively. When we go to immoral relationships, those things are the lusts of the flesh. And he says that we are to war against them. And in this world where there is in every hand a promotion of that which is sensual, that is increasingly difficult to do. The lust of the eyes, what is that? It's materialism. You want something, so you go out to get it, and there is that longing after to possess things, to acquire things. The lust of the eyes is that always looking for something new, not satisfied with what you have. That's the lust of the eyes. And then the pride of life, that's egotism. That is where you want your prestige, where you want your name in lights. We're interviewing young people on the television, on the news during the week. And somebody was saying about so many young people, and they want to be famous. And that is the desire of so many today. I see in Sainfield how they have banners up in some of the churches for this X Factor thing. And that's just feeding into this thing, wanting to be famous, the pride of life. Now the world is exercising an influence over us all, and we need to stand against it. Our citizenship is not in this world if we're saved. Our citizenship is in heaven. And what we need to do is arm ourselves against the worldliness that comes against us. We have to stand against the value system of the world. The values of the world are not our values. And then we have to be careful about our friendship of the world. We can be friends with people in the world, but our friendships, the people that we look to, the people that advise us, are not to be people of the world. And then we have to clearly confess our Lord Jesus Christ on every occasion that we can. Now that is resisting the world. You're not to feed the worldliness or the worldly attitudes that are round about us. But the hymn writer said, take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name, but his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. So we have to be on the alert against the worldly values that are being pushed against or pushed to us, towards us, all the time, all around us, the whole propaganda of the world. You need to be wise as far as those things are concerned. You need to be on the alert. He says, watch ye. Then the second enemy is the flesh. Now the flesh is our human nature, the natural tendency to sin. It is the self-centered nature that is in us. And we need to war against that too. Galatians 5 verse 17 says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. So you can't have the flesh. And where we are tainted with selfishness and pride, those are expressions of the flesh. Other manifestations of the flesh. The flesh, you see, is lazy. The flesh is slothful. The flesh is bent towards rejecting authority. And where those things come in, that is the flesh. Now, you can be caught up with your own cleverness or your own abilities or your own ideas or your own good looks or something like that. That is the flesh. Those are fleshly appetites. Of course, it also manifests itself in more subtle forms. The new nature would lead us to study God's word. The new nature would want us to pray and seek God's face. The new man wants us to be a peacemaker. But what does the old man, what does the old flesh do? Well, it leads us towards strife. It would want us to turn away from God's word and makes God's word in the place of prayer something that we are loath to go towards. And what a struggle. There's a fight there. There's a fight there. There's a fight to read God's word. There is a fight to get at the Bible because of the flesh. But Paul says, watch ye. Watch the flesh. Watch those tendencies. And how do we do that? We say no to the flesh. 2 verse 11 says, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. The Bible tells us that we're to continually reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. And when the flesh rears its ugly head, we say that I'm dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're to watch the worldliness of this day. We're to watch the flesh, that is the inward enemy. The world's the outer enemy. The flesh is the inward enemy. Then there's another enemy, the stubborn enemy, the devil. And of course, Satan is the commander of a large host of demons who are opposed to God and dedicated to defeating those who have accepted God's salvation. And we need to remember the reality of the works of the devil. Now, we can't get caught up with this. There are people that are caught up with it and who are focused upon it to the exclusion of everything else. But remember that the devil is a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's an accuser of the brethren, a prince, an evil one. He beguiles. He seduces. He opposes. He deceives. He sows tares among the wheat. He hinders. He tempts. He blasphemes. We're told that he is intelligent. He's destructive. He has his own minister, 2 Corinthians 11, verse 15. He has his own synagogue, Revelation 2, verse 9. He has his own doctrine, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. He has his own communion service, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 21. So the devil will seek to hinder the child of God in every way he can. Now, these attacks of the devil don't come in easily observed ways. He comes in subtlety because he comes as an angel of light. And one of his greatest weapons is the weapon of discouragement. He wants to discourage God's people, get us downhearted, get us to lose confidence. He works hard at depression and despondency, and at every point along the pathway of life, the devil will implant within the hearts of God's people the thought that they have failed, the thought that they're getting nowhere, that they're a complete failure in every way. Now, that's the devil's work. He wants to discourage you, to get you to feel as if you can do nothing and get nowhere. Not only will he discourage, but he will deny the truth. He will try to undermine and break down the sanctity of marriage, the sacredness of human life, the absoluteness of moral standards. And that is what he is doing in this world today. He will instill complacency. He will keep us from concentration and prayer, distract us from the careful study of God's word by using the other things, the flesh and the worldliness that we have spoken about. He will use those other two factors to undermine us. But Paul says, watch ye. Watch for the devil. Watch against his wiles. Be aware of what he will do. And that is the first thing that we need. And then what we do? Well, the Bible says in James 4 and 7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You can put him to flight. And of course, Ephesians chapter 6 speaks about putting on the whole armor of God. The breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand. But there are enemies, and we're going to face enemies. The three enemies of the world and the flesh and the devil. The Bible says, say no to those. Be aware of what they are doing. And he says, watch ye. Watch ye. Be on the alert. When discouragement comes, be on the alert. When there are those that would seek to deny God's standards, God's holy standards, be on the alert. Because these enemies are real, Christian. And one of the things that he will want, the devil will want us to believe, that there is no devil or there is no forces of hell arranged against us. And we think to ourselves that these things aren't real and therefore our defenses aren't up. So he says, be sharp. Be on the alert. We must be sharp as we stand in this battle and in the conflict as men. Quit you like men, he says. And we need to be sharp. Then the second thing that we need to do, if we're going to be equipped like men, is be steadfast. He says, stand, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. And of course, that reminds us of Paul's exhortation in the last verse of the previous chapter. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we need to be steadfast, we need to stand, we need to be persistent. Because the devil will try to stop us, the flesh will try to stop us keeping on by discouraging us and getting under our skin. I'm sure you've heard the story of the frogs that fell into the farmer's bucket of buttermilk, and they tried over and over again to climb up the sides and they couldn't get out of the buttermilk. And after a long time, one frog said, I can't do this, I'm giving up. And he went down to the bottom of the bucket of cream and died. Well, the other frog saw what had happened and he redoubled his efforts, and he kept using his legs and swimming away and frantically trying to get up. And then, after a few minutes, he found that there was something hard under his feet, and he jumped out because he had turned the buttermilk into butter, and he had got out, and he got away from the place. And that's the same with us. Now, sometimes we may give up, but the Bible says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. Don't give up. And I don't know if there's someone here today, and you're about to give up. Something of the coldness has entered into your heart. You have been witnessing to others and speaking to live a Christian life, but somehow Over the past number of days, weeks, months, maybe a year, you stop praying. Maybe you've got to go to places that you shouldn't go. Got to doing things that you shouldn't do. And being a Christian has become hard going for you. And somehow you've come to a place where you feel to yourself, I'm going to give up. I'm going to stop coming to church. I'm going to stop. Maybe you've stopped reading your Bible already and you're giving up. No, the Bible says, stand fast. Stand fast. I notice particularly where we are to stand fast. Stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the gospel. Stand fast on the doctrines of God's word. Stand fast in the things of God. In Galatians, Paul exhorted them, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Why would you go back to the yoke? Why would you go back to the things of the world when they only brought you burden and hardship and brought you difficulty, and when your sin was weighing you down? Sometimes we forget about the bondage. We're like the children of Israel who were attacked by the prison keepers and the guards, and they were whipped and they were worked to their fingers to the bone, and they were starved in Egypt. But they came out of Egypt, and after a while they said to Moses, we'd be better off in Egypt. And you know, you get God's people sometimes like that. They get the full notion that they'd be better off in Egypt. No, the Bible says, stand fast in the faith. Now that understands that we know the faith, that we're grounded in the word of God, and we come back to that again. But don't be led astray. Watch ye, he says, stand fast. Stand fast in the faith. So if we're going to be equipped like men, or equip ourselves like men, we need to watch. We need to stand fast. We need to be sharp. We need to be steadfast. What's the third thing? We need to be strong. Quit you like men, he says. Be strong. And we're reminded of what Paul wrote to the Ephesians when he spoke about standing against the wiles of the devil. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And we need to be strong. Now, why? Well, notice the necessity of this strength. Because that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we said that the devil is a wily, inveterate foe. He doesn't give up. He will come again and again. You think you've won the victory. And you think that you have resisted that temptation. And back it comes again, as strong as ever. And in an unguarded moment, many as a child of God has been brought down. Now that's why we need to watch. That's why we need to be on the alert. But in a moment of weakness, or a moment of infirmity, or a moment when we were sick, or something happened like that, then that is when those things have come in. We need to be strong. We need to know the necessity of strength. But then notice also the nature of this strength. How are we going to be strong? Well, here is good advice in Ephesians chapter 6. We can't be strong in ourselves. We're never going to do it in ourselves. You might have tried it in the strength, but you cannot stand in your own strength. But he says, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. You need to stand with him beside you. You know, you got the illustration of the little reed that blows in the wind. And of course, a little reed will be easily broken. But it used to be that people made ropes out of reeds. And they get a whole pile of reeds. And they would weave them together. And by that means, they could pull a great weight because they were woven together. Now, if you were in the midst of that, that's a good illustration of us getting together. But if in the midst of that you put a big iron bar up in the middle of the reeds, there's no way you could break that. Well, the big iron bar is like the Lord. There's no way that we will be broken. There's no way that we will be knocked down if we stand fast in the Lord. And so we're going to be conquerors today. He is the conqueror. He is the victor. He has already won the victory, you see. That is why when we're strong in him, we are already in the victory, because he has won the victory there on the center cross of Calvary. When we stand in him, we are automatically on the victory side. He says, be strong. Now, don't rely on yourself. Don't think that by yourself you will ever stand against these things. You go to the Lord. Now, when you're cast down, what do? You go to the Lord. When you feel that you're being overwhelmed and you're discouraged, what do? Go to the Lord. When the things are getting on top of you, what do? Go to the Lord. Go to the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. You say, I'm not strong today. I don't seem to have the strength to stand against the onslaughts that are coming against me. And there's so many things that have come into my life today. How can I stand? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the answer. How the early saints and the reformers, they had the battle. And what great things they had to stand against. How did they stand? What's the explanation? They stood firm in the Lord. So we must be watchful. We need to be sharp. We need to be steadfast. We need to be strong. And then the last one, maybe a surprising one, but we looked at this a little bit last week. Be sensitive. Verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. He adds that in. That's an unusual one. You get away from the militaristic language. But that is, of course, what we said is true of every child of God. You're strong, but you're strong in love. In verse 14 he says, let all your things be done with charity. How? How do you do that? Well, again, we're told that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. In Galatians 5, verse 22, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, and as I have loved you, and ye also love one another. But by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. So we do it out of love, love for men and women. And that is the reason why we stand, because if this gospel perishes, if this gospel that we have perishes, then men and women are doomed. Without this gospel, men and women perish. You know, they say to us today that all roads lead to God. There's all sorts of different ways that lead to God. No, there's not. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we stand for the gospel, men, women. Those of you who are not saved, why do we stand for the gospel? Why are we so adamant for our Protestantism and for the truth that we stand for today? Why are we adamant for these things? Because without the gospel, men and women are perishing. They're going down to a Christless eternity. And so are you without them. And if we don't have the freedom to preach the gospel, if we don't have the freedom to declare to men and women, oh, people out there hate that. They have no time for the gospel or for the gospel preacher. But if that message, if this message ever comes to the point where it's not heard in our society is doomed. And we do it out of love. You know, the congressman Carl Sandburg once said of Abraham Lincoln that he was a man of velvet steel. Now that's a good picture of what children of God should be. We're people of velvet steel. We come with the steel of the gospel. We come with the steel of God's word. We've got to stand up for truth. But we come with velvet steel. Because we come in love to men and women with that message, which is the only way of salvation. And so, men and women, to be mature Christians, we need to be equipped like men. We need to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, we need to be sharp. We need to be on the alert against the wiles of the devil. We need to be steadfast. We need not to give up. We need to be strong, not in our own might or in our own power, but in the power of God. And then we need to be sensitive, strong, but with that velvet steel. Because the message that we preach and the message that we stand for is the only way of salvation. And men, women, those of you that are not saved today, I say to you, the only way that you can be saved, and the only way that your sins can be forgiven, and the only way that you can come to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way. Now I say to you, is it not about time that some of you came and put your trust in Him? Isn't it about time that you sought the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You can't grow until you're born again of the Spirit of God. We said at the very outset of this series of messages, you need to be born again of the Spirit of God. But those of us that are saved, may we be strong. May we be strong Christians. Not in ourselves. You'll never do it by yourself. But stand in Christ. Come to Him. Be close to Him. And He will give you the strength to stand against every onslaught that the world and the flesh and the devil may range against you. May God help us to be strong in this day for His name's sake and for His glory. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank Thee for Thy precious word today. And Lord, we realize what we need to do in conflict as far as growth in grace is concerned. We need to stand. We need to be sharp. We need to be steadfast. We need to be strong. We need to be sensitive. Lord, may these be true of us. And may we be mature soldiers in the battle of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. We're going to